Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All Saints Sunday is my favorite Sunday of the whole year. I get so excited that I had in my mind four children's sermons for today. I just had to wait and see who was up here to see which one I might do. I look forward to this Sunday all year long. And it is because my hopes and my dreams for an extended family are realized in the communion of saints. As many of you know, I was adopted when I was 23. And so I had 23 years to think about and dream about what it might be like to have a family. And part of those dreams were to have a big extended family. You know, the kind you see on Christmas movies where you all get together and you fill up a house and you fill up tables. That's the kind of extended family that I dreamt about. It's the kind of family that I have gotten to witness in many of your lives as we've journeyed together these last few months. The first time I went to seminary in Chicago, it was December of my first semester. Everyone had been talking about plans to go home for Christmas and what they were going to do while they were home, see their families. And the pain of not having that same reality was deep for me. One evening, our seminary community had a Christmas celebration before the semester ended. We shared a meal together and then had a worship service where we gathered together and sang Christmas hymns. And there was a moment where I was so overcome with gratitude and joy, because as I heard everybody singing and as I looked around, I realized that these people were my family and that God had given me the desire of my heart, that this was my extended family in the communion of saints. Already in my baptism, God had given me a big extended family. It's one of the reasons why Sundays are my favorite day of the week, because we all get to come together and worship God together, and I get to be with my big extended family. Each Sunday, we profess our faith in the Apostles' Creed, saying that we believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the communion of in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. But I think because the communion of saints is such a mysterious thing for us, it's easy to pass over it. It's not a mystery because it isn't true. Instead, it's a mystery because we can't really explain it. We can't fully understand it. But just because we can't explain it or fully understand it doesn't mean that it isn't true. The communion of saints is the entire people of God, past, present, and future. It's those who have lived and died. It's those of us here and all over the world who are still living. And it's those who are yet to come. The communion of saints, therefore, crosses and spans all of time and all of place. It is the church universal. Another name for the communion of saints is the family of God. In our baptism, we are adopted by God. God names us and claims us as God's own children. And in doing so, we become sisters and brothers to one another in the entire communion of saints. It's one of the reasons why Kate having her baptism today is so very special. Because on behalf of the whole church, we get to be the ones who welcome her into the communion of saints, into the family of God. In the mystical community of the communion of saints, the saints in heaven and the saints on earth, we remain united. We are unseparated by death. This is part of what it means to be the body of Christ, that all of the communion of saints are unseparated by death. This is most fully realized at the communion table. At the Lord's table, we gather with the faithful of every time and every place, every time we have the Lord's Supper. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we feast with those who have been, with those who are, and with those who will come after us. In the prayer of the day today, it said to God, "You have knit us together into one mystical body, the body of Christ. We are one body." I don't know how many of you have been in churches that around the altar, there's a communion rail. Now, it's different in every church, but there is a Swedish custom, and so a lot of churches that have Swedish origin, you will see a semicircle around the altar, but there's only half of a half semicircle altar rail because the back half doesn't have the rail. The other half doesn't have a rail because it symbolizes the saints who have departed from this life, who are participating with us in the meal of God. Because when our loved ones die in the Lord, they are with us, simultaneously feasting in the marriage supper of the Lamb that we read about in Revelation. When we come to the Lord's table and feast on the body and blood of Christ, we are united with the communion of saints in this meal, and we experience a foretaste of the feast to come. And so today, on All Saints Sunday, we celebrate that we and our loved ones are forever, by God's grace, a part of the communion of saints, and that we are forever joined to them. And yet, today probably feels less than celebratory for many of you. For many of us, maybe we feel a little bit more like Mary and Martha today, where our loved ones have recently been placed in the tomb, and the pain of losing them and the grief is so very raw. We know all too well the grief of Mary and Martha and Jesus. Death hurts, even for Jesus. Even with prophecies and promises to wipe away every tear, Jesus cried. He knew Lazarus would be alive again in moments, but still, he cried. Jesus knew that death here is not forever, and he still cried. He knew eternity and the kingdom of God better than anyone, and yet he wept. Jesus wept because knowing the end of the story doesn't mean you can't cry at the sad parts. I started the gospel reading a little bit earlier than the prescribed lesson because I don't think we can fully understand that the promises of the resurrection are for today as much as they are for after we die. We can't fully understand them without hearing Jesus say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." Jesus is saying, "I am," which you remember is the name that God gives God's self at the burning bush with Moses. And it's a verb. God's name is not a noun like our names are. God's name is a verb, an active verb. And so Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." When we hear or read this, we so often associate life with eternal life, and we associate eternal life with the future. However, this is not what Jesus meant. Jesus is the resurrection and the life now, here and now. And the resurrection lays claim on our lives today. When we are baptized, we die to sin and to death and to ourselves, and we rise with Christ. Now, these days, especially in the Lutheran Church, when we baptize an infant, we don't immerse them in water. We don't dunk them in water, although the early church used to, but we don't do that anymore. But it's very symbolic, because what would happen is, when we are baptized into Christ's death. We enter into the tomb with him. We enter into his death. And then when we rise up out of the water, we are baptized into Christ's resurrection, and we rise with Christ into new life. And that new life that we rise up into is eternal life. And it begins at the font. Our eternal life does not begin when we breathe our last here on earth. Our eternal life begins at the font. The resurrection lays claim on our lives today, because we have already died with Christ in our baptism, and we are living the resurrected life now. And the resurrected life is life abundant, a life in which we are set free from the power of sin and death and self. And we are set free to love God with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole bodies and our whole strength. And we are set free to love others as ourselves. The resurrected life we live here and now is full of love and hope and of God's mercy and forgiveness. And it is a life of living with the communion of saints here and now, in the family of God forever. In just a few minutes, Kate is going to be brought to the font to be baptized. God is going to adopt her as God's beloved daughter, and she will be baptized into Christ's death. She will die to self and to sin and to death. And she will rise to new and everlasting life with Jesus. Everlasting life for Kate begins today, not someday in the future. And in these waters, Kate, like all of us, meets those who have gone before us. She becomes united forever with the communion of saints. And she, like us, is connected by God's grace to those of us gathered here and to those of us who have gone on before her. Her great-grandparents, her big sister, Lauren. And when we come to this table, we meet them here, we meet all of those who have gone before us, those whose rest is won. So when you come to this big extended family meal today, dip your hand in the water of the font, make the sign of the cross over yourself, and remind yourself that you are forever a member of the communion of saints, of the family of God. Eat this meal with your loved ones. And even as we are strengthened and nourished for today, we are also given a foretaste of the feast to come, when we will be fully reunited with those whom we have loved and lost in the presence of God. Hear again this promise from Isaiah. The Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And God will destroy the shroud that is cast over all peoples. God will swallow up death forever. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.